Hello, New York. Welcome to AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. I'm Roy G. Bruce, how was your weekend, buddy?
Well, my weekend so far has been pretty good, Roy. I went out for my birthday dinner last night with my wife, Carol, and my son, Davis, and ate an entire Peking duck by myself.
Nice.
Talked a little sports. There must have been 350, 400 people at Peking Gourmet in Bailey's Crossroads, Virginia. I'm giving them a free plug in case they're listening on the internet somewhere. Watched some college football yesterday. Of course, there was all this stuff going on in State College, but we're not even going to talk about it. If you watched Saturday Night Live last night, the devil had everything to say about it, and that's all that should be said. It was too ridiculous and too gross and too immoral for the devil. Who are we going to talk about first today?
First up, we have the Atlanta Falcons -1 over the New Orleans Saints. Over-under here is 50.
Well, you know, I love the Saints. I love Sean Payton. I love Drew Brees. I love everybody. I love everybody that has anything to do with the Saints. I even love Greg Williams, who can be kind of a P-R-I-C-K. That's so the little kids don't know what I'm saying. From time to time, he's not a real nice guy. He was here, he was a Washington Redskin coach for a long time. But they don't have a very good defense. I mean, these guys are probably 28th, 29th in the league. He's doing all he can trying to put pressure on the other team. But the Saints remind me a lot of the New England Patriots right now. If they can't outscore you, Roy, they're not going to win. And it's they don't have a defense.
Yeah, the defense is set up to be a turnover-style defense to create turnovers. And when they're not in the plus side of the turnovers, they're more on the bend don't break, and they're definitely
breaking
this
season. Well, that's
all they're
doing. But yeah, well, they're not turning the ball over. They haven't picked off but about two or three balls all season.
No.
And there's no fumbles. And you know what? A lot of guys on that defensive side have been banged up. Jonathan Vilma's out again. He is their probably playmaking linebacker for sure. But, on the offensive side of the ball, he's got Darren Sproles, who I think is the biggest playmaker in the league.
You've been high on Sproles all season.
I love him. I loved him in the preseason when we saw him play. And look at San Diego. Since they got rid of Sproles, they got nothing on third down.
Yeah.
They really can't deliver on third down in San Diego anymore. And for you poor people that had to watch that game, I was not on that game at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't even want to get on that game in a 10-point teaser, and it's a good thing I didn't, because I would have lost. But Jimmy Graham is doing a great job at tight end. He's turning out to be maybe Drew Brees' favorite guy. Anytime you got tight ends that can catch the ball and get yards after the reception, you're in great shape. I'm going to take Atlanta, though. And the reason I'm going to take Atlanta is because of what I've seen in the last 3 or 4 weeks from Atlanta. If you remember all of our previous shows, I really wasn't high on them early. They didn't look like they were ready, Roy, coming out of, what little training camp everybody had.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, they look great now. They've got Julio Jones healthy. Mm-hmm. He scored twice last week, outran everybody. His hamstring looks fine. Michael Turner, what a monster this little guy is. He runs like he weighs 260 pounds. And he's got these little short legs. He's probably got 36-inch thighs. And he runs over people. He runs around people. Roddy White is starting to catch the ball a little bit now. And Tony G, they haven't needed Tony that much. Tony still splits the defense. When people try to go cover two, he goes right down the middle and will pull at least one safety with him usually. I like Atlanta. It was a pick until early today. Now it's -1, but I'm still taking the Falcons. And I'm playing them for 4 stars. I love this pick, Roy. I'm going to take them. Let's go to the next game.
Next up, we have the Carolina Panthers -3.5 over the Tennessee Titans. The over-under here is 46.5.
Coming off a bye week. You got to like Carolina here. Cam Newton with a little bit, he had to be getting a little banged up. And you could tell by his numbers a couple, 3 weeks ago that, he was just starting to kind of wear down just a little bit. But, after they look fairly healthy. I was looking at their injury list today. They're in pretty good shape. I love what they're doing with their two running backs. These guys can move the football. There's no doubt in my mind that against the Tennessee Titans, a team that Roy, you and I both talked about this. I'm not sure what they've got.
No, I have. They don't even really know what they have. They've been jumping back and forth between Hasselbeck and Jake Locker. Chris Johnson, we've said it multiple times on this show. We've looked at matchups with him and say, this is the game where he breaks out. Then we changed it to, okay, well, if he doesn't break out this game, then I don't know when it's going to happen. And now I'm just off the bandwagon altogether with Chris Johnson. I think he's done for the season. The lockout and his contract dispute took way too much out of him, and I just don't see the Titans really going anywhere, especially with Cam Newton coming.
Well, you know what? The Carolina defense, last week, Chris had over 100 yards. I mean, he had a decent day running the football last week. He did a good job. They still got beat. They didn't really get done what they wanted to, but I will say this about CJ. He looked a lot better last week than he has all season long. Doesn't mean he's going to look great this week. Carolina lost two of their top three linebackers, and they got a couple of guys dinged up. I like the over here. This is what I really like here, because I think no matter what happens here, Cam Newton's going to come out firing.
Yeah.
Cam Newton's going to if you're in a fantasy league, and you don't activate Cam Newton today, you should have your head examined.
He's their leading rusher and their leading passer. Obviously, he's their leading passer. But the guy is the Carolina Panthers offense. And he's got Steve Smith back to an elite player. So, I mean, you got to love Cam Newton in this game, and especially against this Tennessee game. And if you have Chris Johnson, bench Chris Johnson in your fantasy leagues. The guy has had the last three games under 20 carries. He had 14 carries for 64 yards last week. I mean, he is going nowhere.
And you got to be able to score.
And the Titans are going to be throwing the ball because they're going to have to keep up with this Carolina Panthers offense.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take over 46.5 in a small play, 3 stars here. And by the way, if you go to NH Bowl, it stands for National Handicappers Bowl. It's a very, very old service. I'm in it every year. I compete. If you go to nhbowl.com, click on NFL games, you'll see a familiar name there, a guy named Bruce Hall. That's me. I'm in first place in points division total in the points division for picking the games this year, just under 60%. And I don't play two or three games a week like a lot of handicappers. I max out my points every week because I'm a gamer. You know, if you asked me to pick 13, 14, 15, 16 games a week, I'd still be a gamer and I'd still be shooting for 60 to 65%. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's the hardest thing I have to do when I'm handicapping games, Roy, is pick the ones I actually want to do. You saw when we came in here, we talked about 10 games today.
Yeah.
We scratched a couple of games, scratched a couple of totals because it's very... Oh, gosh, somebody just hit me. No, because of a couple of different reasons, we scratched some games, mostly wind. Wind is the only thing, not even rain usually, unless it's a pouring rain. I mean, a driving rain, do we get off of a total. But when it's windy, especially with certain quarterbacks,
yeah.
You don't want to even take a chance. And the worst thing you can do is go the other way and take the under, and then they go over.
Yeah.
Then you feel like a complete moron.
So you just got to get off it altogether, especially with the quarterbacks that we were talking about in those games, and we'll get to those games. But yeah, when there's certain quarterbacks out there, especially the unproven ones, the rookies, I would still call Joe Flacco an unproven quarterback. Whenever he is in wind or rain, I jump off his games.
How many touchdowns did you activate Steve Smith today? Do you have him in any?
I don't have Steve Smith. No,
boy,
I have Mario Manningham.
Whoever's got Steve Smith, activate him today. He's probably going to catch 10 passes for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns, especially against this Tennessee team that really doesn't have any good corners anymore. They got a couple of guys in their backfield hurt. Take the over in this game for a small play in the Carolina Tennessee. By the way, go to our website. BruceHallSports.com. It's my website, actually. And you can pull up my blog and go over each game while we talk about it. There's additional things on there that we won't be talking about here on the show, and you can just kind of follow. Listen, if you're a handicapper, if you play games or you're in pools, I know how much you guys get into talking about this stuff. It's important. Knowledge is everything. Also, my Twitter account is at Bruce Hall Sports. If you follow me on Twitter, I'm the retweet king of the NFL. I send all the best information out to all the people who follow me. That's at Bruce Hall Sports on my Twitter account, BruceHallSports.com. if you want to go to the blog and follow. And here's another thing you can tell people that don't live in New York, in the New York area. You can tell them to go online. They can either go to WFAS's website and pull us up and stream, or you can go, the best way to do it is to go to brucehallsports.com, click on radio, hear it now. Even if you don't get in at 11:30, 12 o'clock to hear the show, you can hear it later on in the afternoon because we keep them on there for the duration. Okay, let's go to the next game.
Next up is the Pittsburgh Steelers -4 over the Cincinnati Bungles. The over-under here is 43.
All right, we'll go back to Chicago, Detroit after this one. But Cincinnati and Pittsburgh, I love this game. Now, let me tell you something. The Steelers last week, you know, I like the Steelers. I love the organization. There's a lot going on with Pittsburgh. But I got to tell you something. You know, this is a team right here that's probably going to be around later in the season. They're not going anywhere. They've had some injuries. They really cannot run the football as effectively as they've been able to in the past. But what they do is they just substitute the short passing game for that. They've got three or four excellent receivers. Last week against the Ravens, had a tough one. You know, I mean, that was one hell of a game. And I got to tell you, we were on Pittsburgh. We lost that.
I was big time on Pittsburgh for that game.
You know, I thought I was home free too. 90 yards they had to go in less than 2 minutes, and they did it. And you know what? You got to give Joe Flacco and the Ravens kudos for that, because that's something they've been waiting for him to do since a year ago, 2 years ago.
They've been waiting for Joe Flacco to have a breakout game, to have a breakout drive, something to hang his hat on so he could really start to build from. And the city of Baltimore right now is high on Flacco, but I still don't trust the guy with the ball in his hands, and I still don't trust that offense to be consistent week in and week out.
He's probably still somewhere in the 54-55% range. I mean, he's not a 60% passer right now.
I saw a terrible stat during that game that he was 38% in the red zone throwing the ball, which is absolutely ridiculous. Now, I just don't trust a quarterback who can't complete passes.
Well, one of the reasons that I think that he's been hurt is, you know, as a young quarterback, when he first started as a rookie for the Ravens, who was his favorite receiver? Todd Heap. Todd Heap was there for him. Todd Heap's a monster. Todd Heap is in Arizona now. Mm-hmm. Todd Heap's been injured off and on. You know, they didn't. The Ravens are smart. You know, they're just like the Steelers. If you get too big for their organization and you want too much money, they shake your hand and say goodbye to you. And they bring in two guys that end up being just as good. The tight end for the Ravens hasn't gotten there yet, in my opinion. But let's go back to Pittsburgh. I don't want to talk about the Ravens too much right now. But Pittsburgh in this game, to me, to get up for this division game in Cincinnati in front of the first time. This is the first game they've sold out all season, the Bengals. But you know why they sold it out? Because half the stadium's going to be black and gold.
Yeah, it's not a far drive.
They made the trip. They made the trip.
It's not a far drive for the faithful at all. And you know the yellow flags, the yellow flags, the terrible towels are going to be out in Cincinnati today. But I'm on Cincy in this game.
I am too.
I love Andy Dalton, the young quarterback, and you were talking before the show how you might even take Andy Dalton over Big Ben right now.
I just like Andy Dalton because he plays so much older than he is.
Yeah,
you know,
he looks great.
Well, let me tell you something. TCU, by the way, upset Boise State. I don't consider that an upset because I think TCU plays a tougher schedule, and I think TCU for years has been every bit as good as Boise State. But that's where this kid comes from. And you can see the toughness in this kid when he's in the pocket. He doesn't rattle. He's pretty athletic too. Doesn't have the big arm, but he's got an accurate arm. And I'll tell you what else he's got. He's got AJ Green out there. This kid is everything. He's from the University of Georgia, rookie this year. I love the kid. I also love some of the other things that they're doing. Now they've got Benson healthy. I mean, I didn't even see him on the injury list today as a questionable or probable or anything. So he's perfectly healthy. He's already served his suspension. You and I both agree on this, Roy, which doesn't happen a whole hell of a lot.
No.
But we both like Cincinnati getting 4 points here against the Steelers at home. You know what? I have Cincinnati rated as an okay plus team, and I have I have the Steelers rated as an okay plus team. I actually have Cincinnati as a double plus. And they're at home. Home field to me, whether you're the Steelers or, you know, it's hard to talk about home team with the Steelers because they can come into FedEx Field in Washington
Steelers
and have
Nation
more fans.
Steelers Nation is kind of everywhere.
Yeah, they are. They are. But, I Marvin Lewis, I've given this guy so much of a hard time for the last 10 years. Ever since he left Baltimore and went to Cincinnati, you remember he had a couple of great years. He was in the playoffs a year or two. Mm-hmm. But then for the last few years, nothing's really been coming out of Cincinnati.
Well, he looks like
a lot of trouble. I mean, you know, TV shows.
Yeah. He looks like a genius now, letting Ocho Cinco go to New England with AJ Green, the way that he's worked.
Absolutely.
And how about Carson Palmer? The thing that they did there, calling his bluff, saying, okay, you want to retire? Go ahead. We're going to draft Andy Dalton, and we're going to be good.
Well, you know, they knew as soon as they worked this kid out, they knew as soon as they had a week. From what I understand, he learned the playbook faster than anybody they've ever had there, including Carson Palmer. I'm just here to tell you that this kid's for real. I hope he stays healthy. I'd really love to see them in the playoffs this year with him there, because I think even though you have to win on the road and stuff, I think their defense is strong enough, Roy. I mean, they've got some really good players on the defensive side of the ball. They've managed to stay pretty healthy. I'm taking Cincinnati for 4 stars today. I can't leave it alone. I really don't see, you know, Maualuga is probable. That means he's pretty healthy. Caldwell, who spent some time in Washington too, you know, as a number 3 or 4 receiver, he's healthy and he's making some big third down plays. Because they're going to be double teaming AJ Green all the time. I'm going to take these guys as a 4-point underdog at home to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's go to the next game.
Next up, we have the Chicago Bears -3 against the Detroit Lions. The over-under here is 43.5.
Now, what a great game this is. Now, you know, not a lot of people probably thought this was going to be as big a game last year, at the end of last year, as it is now. This, at this point in the season, both of these teams are in the hunt for the wild card. Neither one of them are going to win the North because the Green Bay Packers might not lose a game, and I hope I didn't just jinx them. But now we're all finding out why they tried to get Brett Favre out of Green Bay for the longest time. You know, they just couldn't get the guy to go away. Well, no wonder Brett liked playing in Green Bay. He was surrounded by talent.
Yeah, they he said that it was the greatest team that he'd ever played on the last year that he was there, and I guess he was right, because as soon as he gets out of there, they plug in discount double check and they
discount
win a Super Bowl.
Double
so.
Check that is by the way one of the greatest commercials in the world.
I love that
and
commercial.
The other commercial that I love, and I'm just saying this because I see it all the time, and every time I see it, I burst out laughing, is the one with Jimmy Fallon with the little baby. When it's, I want to say it's a Bank One, or I don't know what it is. It's Capital One.
Oh,
it's Capital
making
One
it
commercial.
Rain?
Yeah, no, not making it rain. When a kid throws the stuff in him, kid supposedly hurls a fire extinguisher, and he goes, "Whoa!" And he looks back at the kid, and the kid gives you two looks. He laughs and looks away, then looks back at him, really, really mean. That kills me. Not to break what we were talking about. Every once in a while, my mind wanders like that. You're just gonna have to bear with me. Let me tell you this: I don't like the Bears.
I know you don't like the Bears.
I don't even like Lovie Smith, but I do like what he's doing. Last week, Jay Cutler did not get sacked. Not only did Jay Cutler not get sacked, Roy, you watched the game.
Yeah.
There was no pressure on him.
No.
Even with the blitz last week, they weren't getting to him. Mike Tice has done such a phenomenal job with that offensive line. I can't even describe it. Does that look like the same line you saw 5-6 weeks ago when Cutler looked like he was ready to quit?
In the first couple weeks of the season, Cutler looked extremely frustrated. You know, he was cursing at his offensive coordinators. He was banged up. I think he got sacked, 9 times in a game or something like that? I mean, and now they're keeping him upright, and when they keep him upright, he plays.
All quarterbacks are different people when they keep the grass stains off their back. By the way, you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion here on WFAS, 12:30 a.m. in New York. I'm here with Roy G., Roy Edwards, and we're going going over all the NFL plays, you can go to BruceHallSports.com right now. That's BruceHallSports.com. And you can follow us along on my blog because we've actually got all of these games in order so that you guys can just, you know, scroll down and follow all we're talking about today's games. I'm going to be giving you everything that I've got going on and just listen up to it. But back to the Chicago-Detroit game. You know, we all love Detroit early.
Yeah, we
Detroit
did.
Looked like the team.
We said they were going to be 8-0 at their bottom.
Well, you know what? We were not totally off, but yeah. You know what? Ever since they got the injury to Javid Best, they haven't really had anybody in the backfield that they mm-hmm. could go with. They've had some pretty bad luck with some injuries, but I'll tell you what, I'm learning a lot more about Detroit now because even though Kamadon Sue is a great defensive tackle in his own right, and he's turned out to be one of the beasts of the league.
Yeah.
You can have some success against this guy if you run right at him. He is a penetrator. He is a gap flip guy. He is, you know, a great athlete, but if you run right at him, he's not all that big, and that's not the strong part of his game. And people are starting to figure that out. And I guarantee you, Chicago Bears with Forte are going to be running between the tackles, and I wouldn't doubt if they run 55, 60, 70% of the time right at Sue's side.
Matt Forte, they went back to using him a couple of years ago. He was something like 60% of their offense, and now they've gone back to just getting him the ball, whether it's throwing the ball to him or handing the ball off. Matt Forte has the Bears back in contention and looking good again. I mean, I was off the Bears early.
Right,
but,
right.
But
well,
I,
yeah, but you love them. You love
I
their
do
defense.
Love the Bears. I
don't know why
defense.
You're not even from Chicago.
I know.
But you know what? Listen, I like, you know, I give Lovey a hard time, but I like Lovey. I'd play for him. He's a player's coach. I tell you what, Brian Urlacher looks like the old Brian Urlacher. He hasn't lost, but maybe a step. You know, he was a, you know, Brian Urlacher was a safety in college, and then he just got huge. You know, but gee, I don't know how that happened, but he got big, and he ended up becoming a really great. He's probably a Hall of Fame linebacker.
I think he's
in the conversation for sure. But I'm going to tell you right now, that defense isn't bad. They do, you know, they go after the turnovers. In this game, though, you know, Chicago is at home. They looked so good last week. Detroit's coming in there. Now, Detroit really can't afford to lose this game. But you know what? I have a little rule when I handicap called the Pete Rozelle rule. If I look at a game and I see that, if one team wins and they both have identical records at the end of the game, a lot of times I go with that team. If you like Chicago today, that's probably the play. Am I on Chicago? No.
I'm on Chicago.
And the reason I'm not on Chicago is because of a guy you love on Detroit. He's got 11 touchdowns and nobody can cover him.
Nobody.
And somehow Matt Stafford finds it in himself, within himself, almost every week to find this guy for at least one touchdown.
Oh yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, this could come down to whoever has the ball last.
Megatron could have two catches for 1,000 yards today.
Well,
four touchdowns.
Let me tell you something. If you've got Calvin Johnson in your fantasy pool, I know you got a smile on your face. Let's go to the next game.
Next up is this is it.
I love this game.
Do you? It's Cleveland Browns -3.
I love games like this.
Over the St. Louis Rams, the over-under here is 37.
Well, you know, oddly enough, the guys that were doing, you know, Rosen and the other guy, whoever that was.
Yeah, the worst play-by-play
announcers.
They're
not doing this game. So, I mean, you know, evidently somebody doesn't think this is the worst
game.
Well, they probably got fired.
They're
doing the Indianapolis game, probably.
But they quit because they had to do that game last week.
I listen to Kylie and Booms, and I'm plugging these guys. I love these guys. They're on in Cleveland every morning. It's, I want to say, 7 to 10 their time. And it's WKRK in Cleveland. And, you know, generally speaking, I don't plug other stations, but when it's outside our market, I do. I've known Kevin for years. Cleveland sucks. I'm just telling you. Because I hear it every morning.
I thought Cleveland
rocks. I hear their coach. No. I hear their coaches. I hear all of the beat guys. I hear all the NFL guys. How they've won three games is beyond me. They've beaten three lousy teams.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
But I'm going to tell you something about St. Louis. St. Louis has Sam Bradford back. He's healthy. He played last week. You know, they didn't look bad last week. They weren't terrible.
No.
The Rams, they're 1-7. Cleveland's 3-5. I think St. Louis has the better team of these two.
So do I. I have St. Louis in this game. For really, you can throw Sam Bradford in there.
Well,
yeah,
talk about both of their running backs being out.
The Peyton Hillis, which God knows what's
and
going
Hardesty,
on there.
Hardesty, their big number one draft.
They're starting
choice.
A guy whose name last name I couldn't pronounce when we were looking it up, but who was
Obanaya,
who was a Ram.
Hey, everybody's activated Obanaya because he's the only guy in Cleveland that can carry the football.
He's all they got. But
I don't even think they have another running back on the roster.
I got St. Louis for one reason only, and that's Steven Jackson. I mean, the guy's a freak.
I'm going to tell you something. The last 2 weeks, watching that guy reminds you why you need a guy like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's been hurt. Part of the reason
Could you imagine being the Packers and having that guy in your backfield?
Freak. He's a freak. He's a freak of nature. He's been hurt all season. That's the reason why the Rams are 1-7. I mean, he is a freak. When you lose somebody of this caliber, you're going to lose football games. Look at the Indianapolis Colts. When they lose their best player, they're... What are they, 0-29?
Right,
are they 0-29
Roy,
yet?
When we first started this year and we started talking about who we liked in the West, the Rams were who we picked.
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
we
I
did.
Like the Rams.
We loved the Rams. They had Sam Bradford. They had a couple of good receivers, and they had Steven Jackson, and they had a much improved defense. I'm going to tell you right now, if you hate Cleveland, take the Rams today. If you don't hate Cleveland, take the Rams today. We're taking the Rams. Are you ready for this? Getting 3 points.
Yeah, it's
now. I'm gonna tell you something that you maybe didn't know, unless I told you earlier, and I think I did. Two great college quarterbacks facing each other: mm-hmm. Colt McCoy from University of Texas, Sam Bradford from University of Oklahoma. They faced off 3 times in college. Bradford lost 2 of those 3 meetings to Colt McCoy. Right now, if you watch these guys on a pro field, on an NFL field, Sam Bradford is the better quarterback.
Oh, yeah, hands
Colt
down.
McCoy looks like a high school kid. As a matter of fact, I've seen bigger high school. That doesn't mean he can't play.
No. He also has zero weapons around
but
him.
But he is being asked right now to manage a game offensively with no weapons. You know what? They say that this week, see, I told you I listened to the Cleveland station. They say he walks like a 60-year-old man. He had ice on both knees, wrapped up. And I want to say this is Monday and Tuesday. I'm not sure he took snaps till Thursday. Colt McCoy, in my opinion, is going to draw even at 2 games each with Sam Bradford because Bradford's going to beat them in Cleveland today. And I'm taking this game for 3 or 4 stars. I feel that strongly about it. St. Louis is a bit dinged up if you look at their injury list. They're not completely healthy. But you know who else is hurt? He's not hurt. He's been sick all week. The kicker for Cleveland, Phil Dawson. He didn't practice almost all week. Now he's a kicker. Massaquoi, who you, I think, do you have him on your fantasy team?
I don't.
But a lot of people do. Yeah. He's out for the game. And it's not like they got Josh Cribbs, who if they get the ball to him, he can do some stuff. But, you know, the problem is getting enough time to throw and getting him open. That just doesn't happen all the time. I'm taking the Rams in a small play, 3, possibly 4 stars, to cover and probably win this game. Let's go to the next game.
Next up is the Dallas Cowboys -5.5 over the Buffalo Bills. The over-under here is 49.
By the way, you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce Hall. Roy Edwards sitting next to me.
Yes, sir.
Roy G., sportsmancave.com.
Thanks for the plug.
You can go to brucehallsports.com. Follow my blog as we go through the games right now with you. You can also go to brucehallsports.com if you're not in New York and listen to my show online anytime you want. Plus, if you miss everything, you can hear it later on because we keep the show on my website pretty much all week long. I think I made this announcement earlier in the show today. If you go to NH Bowl, National Handicappers Bowl, but just say initial N, H is in Henry, Bowl, BOWL.com. Click on NFL games. You'll find that I'm number one in points in the entire contest so far this year. We had a great first half. I'm hoping to duplicate it and get better. I'm hoping we start today. Let's go to this Dallas-Buffalo game right away, though. I'm going to tell you something. We talked about a very interesting thing and what the chances of this happening are one in my opinion, billions. Fred Jackson, wouldn't you agree, is having a great year in Buffalo?
Oh, yeah.
Fred Jackson last week got held down. He actually had pretty decent numbers, but Buffalo got hammered last week. And you know, they were due for a game like that. Now, when they played the Redskins the week before and they shut the Redskins out 23-0,
yeah.
Remember?
Yes, I do.
London Fletcher put a helmet right on the sternum of Ryan Fitzpatrick, and how he got up off the ground, I have no idea. But he got up, he finished the game. But I had a feeling last week that he was hurt, and I still played the Bills. Mistake. Always go with your gut. If you're handicapping and you're not even a professional handicapper, go with your gut. Your gut is what you got to trust. I don't care whether you're driving a car or you're playing a game, right? You got to go with your gut. The thing that's amazing about this little statistic, it's not even, it's just something to know, is that Fred Jackson grew up on a piece of property in a house or an apartment right there where they built the new Cowboys Stadium. And now he's returning to basically his home where he was born in Arlington, Texas, to play against the, Dallas Cowboys. Look, you know, I think Roy and I have told you, we grew up Redskin fans. We hate the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm not a big Cowboys
fan. I mean, you know what? If the Cowboys were dying of thirst in the middle of the Mojave Desert, I wouldn't let them lick the sweat off the back of my neck,
no.
If you know what I mean. That's a real nice way to put that, by the way. This is the G-rated Bruce Hall Show. I'm with Roy. Roy's like 16, so I can't say
16.
Well, 17, maybe.
Yeah, that's closer.
Well, no, you got your beard working.
I do have a beard.
I was shaving when I was 13.
It's No Shave November.
I'm old enough to be Roy's grandfather, basically, to be honest with you. But listen, you know, I loved Buffalo all week long, but I had to get off of them. I just got a bad feeling here, and I'll tell you why I got a bad feeling. There's a running back in Dallas, and he reminds me of Emmitt Smith.
He's good.
His name's DeMarco Murray. He's probably quicker than Emmitt. Probably doesn't shake and bake any better than Emmitt, but I'll tell you what Emmitt had that DeMarco doesn't have. He had four All-Pros on his offensive line.
Yeah.
DeMarco Murray may have one. Now, these guys might end up becoming good because he's got three really young linemen on this team. But I'm scared of the Dallas running game. I'm a little scared of Romo maybe having a good game. I'll tell you another guy I'm scared of, DeMarcus Ware. DeMarcus Ware is lined up on a third-string left tackle today.
Now,
that's not good.
No, he's a freak. But the Bills, as good as they've been this season and as good as their record are, they're 1-2 away, which tells me that, A, yeah, they haven't played many road games. They're not road tested. And when they are tested, they're not winning. 1-2, I mean, come on now. And the Cowboys are 3-1 at home, which if you've been to Jerry's World, that it's a freak show over there. So there's a lot going on in Dallas Stadium when that's going on. And the last time these teams played, Tony Romo threw 5 picks. So It's the trust factor with Romo again. Now I'm on the Bills, and yeah.
Well, just realize that won't be what you read on the blog because I was on the Bills all week.
I know you were.
As a matter of fact, when you probably looked at my first thing I threw out and I maybe emailed to you, might have had them plus. I like +5.5. That's a great number to play because you win everything up to 3, you win 4, and you win 5.
Yeah.
At 5.5. Well, there's a reason Vegas does that. They want you to play the Bills. And I got to tell you, if I knew Fitzpatrick was completely healthy, and if we didn't have this guy at all, I mean, I'm just telling you, I've seen the Bills a lot. They're playing very good. Now, Chan Gailey, who you know, was a head coach in Dallas. Mm-hmm. He was also an offensive coordinator in Dallas. So Chan Gailey, along with Fred Jackson, he's also going home.
They're pumped.
Let me tell you, Chan Gailey is a hell of a coach. He's a player's coach. He's a smart guy. He's an offensive coordinator. You know, I'm passing on it. But if you're going to take either side of this, don't take the Cowgirls. Take Buffalo.
Nobody circles the wagons
like the Buffalo Bills. That's right. Circle the wagons.
That's right.
Wait a minute. They're both Cowboys if you do that. Let's go to the next game.
Jacksonville Jaguars or the Jacksonville Maurice Jones Drews -3 over the Indianapolis No More Paytons.
I think you're probably going to be speaking with accuracy. By the way, I'm Bruce Hall. This is Roy G.
Yes, sir.
And I think you're speaking with accuracy if the crew doing this game might not be a very good crew. doing the broadcast. So whoever these guys are, turn them on just to see who they are and tell me, listen to them for 5 minutes today, either on this or on Red Zone, and tell me what you think of whoever the crew is doing this game, because they're a combined 2-15. Jacksonville, however, in my opinion, is a lot better team than Indianapolis.
Well, Indianapolis is my high school football team.
You guys ran a single wing. I saw you. You were terrible.
Yeah, we were really bad. were the Colts.
Hey, let me tell you something. I picked this game November 13th because tomorrow's my birthday, by the way. I picked November 13th when the season started as the game, the only game that the Colts would win all season long. I picked that 2 months ago. Well, you know what? I've changed my mind because I'm on Jacksonville, and I'll tell you why I'm on Jacksonville. Maurice Jones-Drew, for one reason, an offensive line that can move these guys around, and a Colts team that cannot tackle or play the ball in the air.
No, Indy is.
Listen,
Indy is.
Blaine Gabbert might have a good game today.
Yeah.
I don't see Painter having a good game against a Jacksonville team that held a Raven team in check in Baltimore.
No, that was
the
game. It was in Jacksonville, but
that was in Jacksonville. My bad.
But still,
they beat the Ravens. Yeah. If Indianapolis played the Ravens might win by 40 or 50 points, and they don't even have a great offense.
No,
I don't see. Listen, I don't see the Colts scoring more than 10 points. And I see Jacksonville scoring 20 to 30 points in this game. And I'm just telling you, take Jacksonville. Yeah. Unless they turn the ball over, how are the Colts going to win?
Indianapolis had trouble with Maurice Jones-Drew when Peyton was their quarterback. They always had to worry about this game. This was always a matchup on their schedule that they always worried about.
You know who else is out for the Colts today? Dallas Clark. I mean, he's like their best receiver because Painter... If you watch Painter in the pocket, though, he goes back to throw. You know how, as a quarterback, you're supposed to have a clock in your head?
Yeah.
He doesn't have a clock anywhere. I mean, because he goes back there and holds the ball until somebody hits him in the head.
Yeah. And you know, I thought he was going to have a breakout game at some point. And I was like, and I was high on him. I've been high on him the last couple of weeks. And I picked Andy the last 2 weeks.
Well, you know what? There's something we didn't think about here, Roy. Now, I'm a conspiracy theorist. As you know, Jacksonville, if they throw this game, not that they would ever do that, they'd be 2-7 and Indy be 1-9. They'd be in the running for the quarterback. Oh, that's right. They just drafted a quarterback, yeah. Blaine Gabbert. How's that working out for you? No, I'm just kidding. Kid's going to be good.
Maybe.
He was a first-round draft choice. Mm-hmm. Didn't he go third quarterback pick last year? Anyway, here's the deal. Take Jacksonville. They have a great defense. I just don't see Indy scoring enough points to beat Jacksonville, who should. I mean, Oregon would score 70 points against the Colts. Did you see Oregon last night?
They
crushed Stanford.
That was luck.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Let me tell
you
something.
Through two picks.
Yeah, but Stanford's, they're not fast enough to play with Oregon.
No.
They're too fast. Oregon's, that was Stanford's home field. They should have thrown water all over the field.
Oregon's really fast.
They should have, like, turned the sprinklers on and went, oh, you know what? We forgot, but we left the sprinklers on all night last night, and I'm sorry about the mud puddles, but, you know, but I'm going to tell you, Oregon, they're for real. Let's take Jacksonville minus the 3 points for 4 stars. And I can't believe that the Indianapolis Colts can't win one game. Let's go to the next one.
Next up is the Kansas City Chiefs -3 over the Denver Tim Tebow's. Over under here is 42.
You know, there was a sporting news article that came out, sporting news piece in the sporting news this month that came out. And I'm going to tell you right now, it had a list of all of the, and we're going to talk about this because we've been talking about Tim Tebow, even though he's playing in Denver, he may not be in Denver forever. He may not be in Denver forever. Anyway, they had all the top rated college players of all time, top three teams. I went through that with a fine tooth comb. Okay. Every single player on there was an all-pro almost in the NFL. Do you know who the top-rated quarterback was? Tim Tebow on the first team. He was the best quarterback, according to the Sporting News, to ever come out of college football. Well, he's going to be a great quarterback, but he's different.
He's a lot
different. Now, let me just tell you this. You know who the number two quarterback was? Sammy Ball.
Slinging
Sammy Ball. Former Redskin.
He changed the
game. And he also punted, and he threw the ball downfield. Now, a lot of people, when Sammy Ball started throwing the balls downfield until he started having success with it, went, you ain't never going to win playing that kind of throwing ball game. You got to hit people in the mouth and run right down their throats.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way people thought back then.
And talked.
Look at the NFL. Exactly. And they still talk that way in certain parts of the country. But listen to what I'm telling you. I'm telling you right now that the smartest thing that some of these general managers could do right now is hope Tebow doesn't have a lot of success, talk to John Fox and the Denver Broncos, and get him. Because I would put an offense around this guy. I would draft running backs, offensive linemen, and my backup quarterbacks would be guys similar to Tebow. How many guys are out there that aren't quote-unquote NFL quarterbacks that can run, that can, you know what I'm saying?
Oh my!
There's a bunch of guys that
is college. Now they're not Tim Tebow.
No, that's
true. But they play like Tim
Tebow. Well, yeah, but you're asking him to be a 2 and a 3. You're not asking him to be a 1.
Do you remember a guy named Pat White?
Oh,
who
God.
Went to West Virginia?
Absolutely.
Now everyone.
What if Pat White was 6'4", 250 like Tebow?
Exactly. I mean, Pat White, the reason why, I can understand why everyone was skeptical about him, because he was a little guy.
He wasn't big.
Tim Tebow is a big guy.
He's an athlete.
He is. He's a freak.
He shattered all the combine records last year. He shattered all the combine records last year for quarterbacks.
He's a freak.
Vertical jump. Standing broad jump, 40-yard dash. I mean, this guy is unbelievable.
He's a workhorse, and he loves people to tell him that he can't do something.
You know what? I'm going to say this because I can say it because it's my opinion. And by the way, I'm Bruce Hall, and the name of this show is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. So don't get mad when I give you my opinion. You got me turned on. This is Roy Edwards. I'm with Roy G.
Yo.
And we're talking right now about Tim Tebow. I'm going to tell you right now, you put an offense around, he's going to get better every game.
He is.
If he doesn't get injured, a severe injury, he's going to give you wins. Hey, how'd that work out for the University of Florida for 4 years?
I think they won a couple games.
Yeah, they did. And I'll tell you another thing, too. Why do you think Urban Meyer loved this kid so much? This kid is a winner. And I think that one of the reasons that he gets so much crap and so much negativity is because, well, the same reason that, I mean, some people just are intimidated by religion.
Yeah.
And by the Lord. And by a kid that's, you know, said he's 25 years old and he's a virgin. You know what? He's a good kid.
He's a great kid.
Give him a damn break.
This is the guy.
And give him a football team to play on, for crying. If I'm John Fox, I feel like I died and went to heaven. He acted when he put him in there like he didn't want to put him in there. Well, you know what? John Fox ain't nothing.
He doesn't
know
what he's doing.
He went 2-14 last year and got a job.
Yeah.
How do you get a job when you're 2-14? If I did that in high school, I'd get fired. Right?
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, what does that say about you? Okay. Listen, if I'm Mike Shanahan, or I'm, you know, I got my Denver connections, I'm getting that kid.
Yeah.
So, hey, take Kyle Orton. Have fun. Give me Tim Tebow. Let's go to the next game. Who are we talking about? Kansas City, Denver. That was the next game.
Kansas City,
hey,
Denver.
Listen, a lot of people in the country love Kansas City here. They're only -3. Why do you think they're -3?
Because they're
Tim Tebow. They rushed for 300 yards last week. That's the most yardage anybody's rushed for all season, right?
Yeah.
Even Dallas, when DeMarco had over like 267 yards, I don't think they rushed for 300 yards. I'm passing on this game, and I'll tell you why. Kansas City can still win the division, as can Denver.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you something. This is a game to watch. Don't you agree?
Yeah, and I'm always watching Tim Tebow.
Yeah, but I mean,
love Tim Tebow. You know that.
Yeah, I know. I'd put my reputation on this kid turning this team into a winner.
I believe so.
It might not happen this year, but you know what? What's a better year in the West of the AFC to have that winning year?
I think that
if they go 9-7, I think they win the West.
I was just about to say that. I think that he can turn this team into a 9-7 football team and win the West.
Hey, North Turner is on his way out of San Diego. Wouldn't you agree?
They look terrible Thursday night.
You know what? He's – He's just not a great coach.
They're soft.
Whoever their, you know, their personnel guy is the guy that, you know, is supposed to be this wonderful guy that fired Marty. He fired Marty Schottenheimer with a 14-2 record. He fired him.
Because he couldn't win the big game.
And you know who he brought in?
Norv.
Norv Turner.
Great. That was a great choice.
Norv. Hey, we saw Norv for 7 years here. That was 6.9 years too much. You know what? I'm passing on this game. Let's go to the next game.
Next up, we have the Miami Dolphins -4 over the Washington Redskins. The over-under here is 37.5. There it is. Better late than never, right?
Hey, listen. You know what? We're not going to waste a lot of time on the Redskins
Who
here.
Who cares about
Take
this game,
Miami man. For 4 stars. They're just because I said. Now, listen, here's something that's just happened that we know about, unfortunately.
Rex Grossman.
We were hoping, we were praying John Beck was going to be there. I've released Miami to all 8 million people. That's why you can go to BruceHallSports.com and catch the most recent. What we said is if Grossman starts, all bets are off.
And he is.
Yeah, and Grossman's going to start. The reason he's going to start is because it's an embarrassment thing.
Yeah.
John Beck was released last year, 2007, from Miami because he was so bad.
And then
he was
Cam
terrible.
Cameron, who was in Miami, brought him to Baltimore.
And then
Baltimore shipped him off for a bag of potato chips to the Washington Redskins, and we signed him for a third. Redskins signed him for a 3-year deal. I don't even want to call him
And
Lee
Shanahan
anymore.
And his son have put their reputations, which – we're all starting
well,
to learn
done.
Isn't that big of a
John
deal.
John Beck is done. His career is over in Washington.
Well, it is if Rex is starting today.
It's over.
Unless Rex, you know.
That's the only
thing. Now, what was the bet that you and I were having today when we were getting ready? How much weight has Rex gained since he sat on the bench for 3 weeks? I said 15 pounds.
Yeah.
Well, he was already 35 pounds overweight. So Rex is probably 6'2", 270 right now, and he's going to be trying to dodge guys blitzing on Miami. We're taking Miami for a very small play, and that's all we've got to say about it. Next game.
The Philadelphia Eagles -14 over the Arizona Cardinals. The over-under here is 46.5.
You know, this isn't a game I want to talk about too much, only to say how disappointed I am in the Philadelphia Eagles team. I'm not mad at their effort because I know they're trying. They just can't figure it out. I think there's a lot to be said for bringing in not only good athletes but good people. And with a running back like LeSean McCoy, how can you not win?
He's the first
running back since Emmitt Smith in 1992 to score a touchdown in his first 8 games.
Yep. They're the number one rushing attack in the NFL. And they look terrible.
Yeah, they do. And Arizona, how bad are they?
They're Kevin Cobbless today.
Well,
this was Kevin Cobbs, you know, back to Philadelphia moment, and he's not playing.
There's a beat writer in Arizona named Jess Root. He's a great guy. We kind of go back and forth on Twitter. I love to talk to these guys. And my Twitter, by the way, my Twitter account is at Bruce Hall Sports. Follow me. I'm telling you, follow me. I'm the retweet king of Twitter. I will send you all the greatest information that I read all week long. Make your own damn decision.
At Bruce
Don't
Hall
listen
Sports,
to me.
Hashtag retweet queen.
Yeah, at Bruce Hall Sports. That's it. At Bruce Hall Sports. I got Roy G in here with me from sportsmancave.com. Roy, we looked at this game and said pass because it's too many points.
It's way too many points.
It's 14 points at home, Philly. You could almost go with Arizona and have a better shot than getting Philly -14.
I would have taken Arizona without, but there's no Kevin Cobb.
Let's just pass on this game. Let's go to the next game. A good game.
The Houston Texans -3.5 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Over under here is 45.5.
I liked Houston all week long until I got a look at their injury report. It looks like a novel.
Yeah.
I mean, plus Tampa Bay, you know what? Do you ever have a team, people that are listening to me in Radio Land in New York or wherever you are on the internet, do you ever have a team that every time you play against them, they win? That's Tampa Bay for me. I'm leaving this game alone, but I love Houston. I love what I see out of these guys. They are banged up, I'm telling you. But they got two of the best running backs in the league in their own backfield.
Yeah,
and they've got a really good running game, and they've got a quarterback that's figured it out. He's been with Kubiak now for some time, and guess what else they got? A defense.
Yeah.
They went from last in the league in defense to the top three almost every week. The Houston Texans will be in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to win that division. And I'll tell you what, they're going to make some noise before this year is over. You know, this week there are so many toss-up games. This is kind of one of them. Houston is a 3.5-point favorite on the road. If you're a Tampa Bay fan, take the home dog points for a very small amount. But other than that, I'm passing on the game. Let's go to the next game.
Next up is the Baltimore Ravens -7 over the Seattle Seahawks. The over-under here is 41.
Boy, this is an ugly game.
This is ugly.
God, it's ugly. You know, they were 6.5 all week. Now they're 7. Seattle is only good, in my opinion, on the road against a good team. Well, they're at home against a good team. Baltimore will probably win this game.
Yeah.
I'm not a big enough.
I don't believe in the Ravens enough to play this game.
Well, you told me it's raining out there.
It's raining, so Joe Flacco sucks even more than he already does. The Baltimore Ravens practiced outside all week in preparation for this game, playing music in order
I'm
to prepare
Mrs.
for the
Flacco
12th
what you're saying
man.
About her son, by the way.
Joe Flacco sucks.
I'm going to tell Mrs. Flacco. She's like 6'5", too.
I get a front row seat to watching the Joe Flacco Sucks show every week, and I hate it.
All right.
Ray Rice is a beast, though. I mean, he is the Baltimore Ravens, and they still have Anquan Boldin. I mean, this is a good football team, except even Baltimore is afraid of them choking this week.
We're going to leave this game alone, but if you're going to play either side of it, the Ravens are the side to play. Let's go to the next game. I love this game.
The San Francisco 49ers -3.5 over the New York G-Men.
Hey, if San Francisco's baseball team was playing today, it'd be the Giants versus the Giants. But I got to tell you something. You know, San Francisco went out there and basically managed the game, took it easy, and ran the ball down the Redskins' throat last week. I was there. So were you. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to do the same thing against the Giants. Here's the problem when you've got a lot of great pass rushers. The Giants, I love the Giants. I love them on the road. But I think this is a play. We're going to find out if San Francisco is for real or not. Knicks is out today. Eli's looked phenomenal. He's number two quarterback in the league right now. But guess who's out again? Bradshaw. Jacobs, who I'm not a big fan of, did a great job last week running over people. But he's got to be a little sore and a little dinged up. I'm taking San Francisco -3.5. And let me tell you what's great about taking a team who's playing your team. No matter what happens, you're happy. That's the only way I can say it. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, the Giants are going to win the East. They're going to be around at the end of the season. There's no question in my mind. I love what they did with Coughlin throwing him up in the air in a locker room last night. He looked like a little kid. he's in his 60s. Hey, take the Giants on the money, but I would take personally San Francisco minus the points here for 3 stars, a small play. Let's go to the next game.
Next up is the New York Jets -2 over the New England Patriots. The over-under here is 47.5.
I love the Jets here, and I'll tell you why. New England is not for real. New England is not doing what they've, you know, what they have no defense.
No.
The Jets have a defense.
I've been saying for weeks that I didn't think New England was
they have no deep
were.
Threat.
No.
The Jets have 2 or 3 receivers that can take it deep. I'm just telling Plaxico is getting it together. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Darrell Revis is going to cut off half the field, right?
Yeah.
He's taking their best guy out of the game. I mean, if the Pats lose this game, it's the first time they've lost since 2002, 3 games in a row. I'm taking the Jets, and I'm taking over 47.5, both for 4 stars in this game. Go to my website. I'll have some more instructions because this is the Sunday night game. Now, let's recap because we're not going to talk about the Monday game because it's not worth talking about today. We're going to recap Atlanta over New Orleans, Cincinnati over Pittsburgh, St. Louis over Cleveland, Jacksonville over Indy, Miami over the Redskins, only a little play now, the Jets over New England, San Francisco over the Giants, and I got Carolina versus Tennessee over Tennessee. I'm Bruce Hall.
Roy G.
And this is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We'll be back next week, and I can't wait to talk to you. Good luck today with the games. See ya.